work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Monte tried to sneak the cheese past the rat there.
And Chris Ello.
Strasburg ready to go. A 1-2 pitch slider, strike three, ball, and no hitter.
Let's go. Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
What's up, San Diego? Live from the Auto Show, downtown San Diego. You're listening to Gwynn and Chris. The band is back together finally.
Yeah.
Chris, how you doing today? Happy New Year, San Diego.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to San Diego. Even Scraby.
Even Scrape.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Hope you had a happy New Year. Yeah, it's great to be. This is a lot of fun every year to come down to the Auto Show and see all these people out here just walking around, tons of brand new cars, and just lots of fun. So we'll be hanging out here for the next 4 hours. If you're going to be coming down here, come down to the Chevrolet display.
Yeah.
And you'll find us. We're in building, what is it, Scraby? F?
Yes, it's between E and F. We're right here, F and E, but the Chevrolet is right in front of the F doors.
We're right there by the Chevrolet thing. So come on by, say hello. We'll be hanging out. And we got a good show today, Tony.
We do. Terrific show. Speaking of the Auto Show, the chairman, Richard Neuendijk, will come and join us at 3:35. We have our Chris versus the Fan back. Bethel Duran will come talk a little Lakers basketball with us. The countdown, Odd Thomas, NFL news and notes. And we're into the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I need to congratulate my partner here who won the championship of the Pick'em by a point and a half?
No, by a foot.
Because
if Seattle would have won the game, that Sunday night game, then you would have beaten me. Instead, San Francisco got the win. So it came right down to the final play of the season. That's pretty amazing.
It did. And I haven't had a chance to congratulate Thomas Andrews for winning the Fantasy Football League Championship.
He has been.
Give yourself a round of applause on the ones and twos back there.
Well done, Thomas Andrews. Nicely done.
But we got a lot of news and notes. I want to start real quick by sending our condolences to the Stern family. The NBA lost an icon. David Stern passed away yesterday after 3 weeks of fighting after a brain aneurysm he suffered. Passed on yesterday. The NBA is at a loss today.
No question. I mean, David Stern, look, the thing is, I think most people in the NBA really appreciate what David Stern did for the game. But it's interesting. I mean, in order to get done what he got done, you know, I respect him to this extent that he had to ruffle a few feathers along the way. He didn't always make the world's most popular decisions. Don't remember that now. There were some situations where he jumped in. I'll tell you one thing. In Seattle today, they're probably not, you know, as sad as other places. I mean, he basically took the Sonics out of Seattle.
Yeah.
Chris Paul away from the Lakers.
I was about to say, there's some young Laker fans out here who may not appreciate some of the things that were done earlier. They only think about that Chris Paul situation that might feel a little differently. Save those thoughts, because Chris and I will give you our thoughts on David Stern. But I think it would make no sense if we didn't start this show off talking about the San Diego State, our number 13 San Diego State Aztecs taking down Fresno State. We know if you've been watching the Aztecs, the Fresno State game has always been kind of a back and forth. It can go either way. And it wasn't pretty last night, but the Aztecs passed their first real test, I think, in a stretch of tough games, getting that victory against Fresno State. They win that game 61-52.
Don't forget now, the Fresno State coach, Justin Hutson, used to be one
former
of their
Aztec
assistants.
That's right.
He knows everything about this Aztec program, and he beat the Aztecs both games last year.
He did.
So, that's a nice win.
And they needed the one at the end of the season, and he still beat them.
Yeah. So, it was a good win. Now the price of poker goes up a little bit, because now you go into Utah State, and they're going to be coming off a big loss last night, got blown out at UNLV. So the Aztecs got to somehow find a way to win up there in Logan, Utah. And I can tell you, that is a really hard building to play in. Those fans sit right on top of you, and they are loud, and they are I don't know, is annoying okay? I
mean, annoying's they're just good.
They get right inside your skin, basically. So that's going to be a great challenge for the Aztecs. And then after that, I know Wyoming's not having a good season, but I've said it 100 times, any game at Wyoming is a challenge.
It's a tough game.
Always a challenge. So those are their next two games. So, but I saw a stat yesterday that just blew me away. So I'm going to throw it out there for the Aztecs and their fans, because there's only the Aztecs and Auburn now are the only two undefeated teams.
Right.
And Auburn plays Saturday as well against Mississippi State. The last team to lose a game in college basketball over the last 15 years has gone to 8 Final Fours.
Mm, I like the way you're thinking.
8 Final Fours, 7 championship games, and 3 champions.
Yeah.
So You may think it's not a big deal to be the final undefeated team, but for whatever reason, it's played out that way over the last 15 years, where most every undefeated, last undefeated team, at least half of them, gone to the Final Four. That bodes well for San Diego State. I say keep going as long as you can.
Teams that get this deep into the season with loss, and even not necessarily this deep, that get deeper than everybody else, create good habits. Good habits last a lot longer throughout the season, and that's probably why you've seen that number kind of be what it is. Teams that tend to lose last tend to advance further in the season and into the tournament. So
I hope it holds up this year.
I certainly am with you on that. Malachi Flynn scored 16-point match. Matt Mitchell added 15. By the way, we'll have starting point guard KJ Fagan on the show later on today, about 5:35, to talk a little bit about this undefeated start that they have and the challenges that face them moving forward in these next couple games. But certainly, that was a nice win for the Aztecs. A lot of talk about this basketball that's being used a little bit.
Yeah.
Really throughout the Mountain West.
Yeah, Mark Ziegler was on with us Monday, Tony, when you weren't here, and he was telling us that this basketball that they've used now is kind of like, feels like the old outdoor-indoor basketball that you used to buy as a kid so that you could use it in the gym and outside on the playground. It doesn't have the same good feel as a good, solid indoor basketball, and they're doing it because they're trying to monitor where the ball is on the floor. It's like an analytics thing. To me, it's too much technology.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really needs it. And right now, it's the talk of the games. I mean, that's the thing that's disappointing to me. You got the Aztecs 14-0. You got them undefeated. You got all of the excitement that goes along with that. And all anybody's talking about in the Mountain West Conference basketball are the basketballs.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong focus. I mean, it tells me that they're not doing the right thing there.
Listen, these guys practice enough during the year to get that data elsewhere. I mean, why? And not to mention, we're just talking about from the standpoint of the players, but the fans want to come see a good show as
they
well.
They want to see the ball go in the hoop.
They don't want to see bricks thrown up and houses built. So
yeah.
That's something that, you know, that only in the Mountain West.
I know, because the score yesterday, I think, was 3-2 after the first 6 minutes of the game. I'm like, what's
a baseball score?
Yeah, what is going on here? But yeah, these kids are definitely, they'll say it's not in their head. We'll talk to KJ Fagan about it, but I think it's a factor right now in the way that not just the Aztecs are shooting, but you know, Fresno State played with the same basketball, so there was no advantage one way or the other. But it just doesn't make for a good game, and it just makes for kids thinking about that rather than thinking about playing well.
And it has us talking about it, which is the last thing
that's
you want.
That's not what should be on our minds.
At all. All right, but nevertheless, we have a jam-packed show. Jerry Brewer, Washington Post, will join us, give his thoughts on David Stern's passing. It's nice to be back, guys. Good to see you. Glad we could get the band back together. We're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, there are some bowl games that have gone on.
Some good ones.
There's some really good ones. The Rose Bowls in particular last night was a terrific game. We're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, we will talk about that Rose Bowl. This is Gwen and Chris. Welcome back, everybody, on 97.3 The Fan.
Here is Anthony Lotti, an average of 40 yards per punt to punt it away. And he dropped it. Ball on the ground, Oregon. Brady Breeze has got it. Brady Breeze is going to score.
What a Rose Bowl yesterday in Pasadena. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, broadcasting live from the San Diego International Auto Show at the Convention Center. We'll be here till 7 o'clock this evening. Chrisello along with Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby. Let him out of the studio today, a rarity. But
sometimes we got to let him out.
I know we got to let him out. The thing is we really got to let Thomas out because Thomas has deserved that. And Scraby keeps sticking him in the studio, and you keep promising that you're going to let him come out.
It is not me.
I think it is.
It's our boss.
Blame it on the boss.
So if Thomas came out here, what is the boss worried about? That you would not be able to handle things back in the studio? Is that the problem?
Oh, man, it's January 2nd, Chris.
Is that the problem? Well, what's the deal?
No, the problem is I don't think Thomas can set up this side of the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Thomas, you got caught in the trash talk for no reason.
Odd Thomas can do anything.
To be fair, I've never got a chance to set it up.
Oh, he said he's never gotten a chance to set it up. All right, I'll show you.
There you go. All right, there you go. Oregon beats Wisconsin 28-27. You heard the one touchdown there. The kid just dropped the punt. Should have tried to kick it. I mean, once he dropped it out of his hands, he should have just at least swung his leg, but he just dropped it on the ground.
Right.
And Oregon picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown. That was one of the easier scores, but 4 turnovers for Wisconsin. I actually thought Wisconsin had a better team than Oregon during the course of the game, but that's what had 4 turnovers, an great equalizer, as they were, Tony. And I'm glad for the Pac-12. They needed a win like
they
that because USC got blown out in the Holiday Bowl. Utah got blown out in the Alamo Bowl. It was looking bad again for the Pac-12. It was looking like another, weak off season or weak bowl season. So that win by Oregon gave him a little boost.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think initially going in, you would have thought Oregon had the better team. Wisconsin was the more disciplined team. As it turns
out, the opposite way.
Wisconsin seemed to have the better team, but was less disciplined than Oregon. They had committed a lot of penalties. In that game, they turned the ball over. 2 things that you normally can't do in order to win a football game.
No, and then they had kind of a, I don't want to say it was a bad call, but a disputed call at the end of the game. Wisconsin was driving down trying to get in range for a go-ahead field goal, and they got down there, but then the pass play was called back on offensive pass interference, so that brought them back, and they showed the replay 2 or 3 times. It didn't look like there was any pass interference anywhere.
Right, right.
But, that's the breaks of the game. I don't think if you're Wisconsin, you can blame it on that. It's one of those things where you just had a whole bunch of things go wrong, and Oregon's took advantage of it. The interesting game yesterday, I thought also, Tony, was Minnesota beating Auburn, and the reaction to that, which is, well, I guess Auburn didn't care. Because
that's always the reaction for SEC teams that get whooped.
That's my exact point. If you're an SEC team and you lose a bowl game, you didn't lose because you're not better. You lost because you didn't care. And that's really unfair. That's taking it all away from Minnesota, which played a great game, dominated the game in every statistical category, and deserved to win that game yesterday. Give Minnesota their props. Just because an SEC team loses a game, it doesn't always mean that they're just not trying.
And by the way, that's not a good excuse anyway. Like, what does that say about your conference?
Yeah,
that
we're team, so
if,
we're,
if you
we're
don't
so
get
arrogant.
To the national championship game, you're just not going to play the rest of the season.
We're so arrogant that we can't even find a way to get fired up for one of these bowl games. But Alabama played fine, Georgia played fine.
Yeah.
So, that's just not a good excuse, and I don't like to hear it. Auburn had a really good team this year, but Minnesota outplayed them yesterday.
They did.
That's all that happened. It had nothing to do with Auburn didn't want to play the game. I really believe Auburn did want to play the game. They just weren't as good yesterday. That's all. So
it is okay.
Stop doing that.
It is perfectly fine on any given Saturday or whatever day it is that you guys play that you can get beat. That goes for every single team in the country. It's not just SEC teams. So I hear that same excuse a lot, and it's a tired one.
So I guess if Clemson beats LSU in the national championship game, then what? LSU didn't feel like being there?
It wasn't what they wanted.
Who do you like in that game early on? It's early. Have you started thinking about it? It's still a week and a half away.
I like LSU. Now, if you force me to make that
early
that pick, I like LSU.
I'll tell you what, Clemson sure showed the mettle of a championship team.
And that's the thing.
I was impressed with.
It seems like every time Clemson gets put in one of these spots where they're being doubted, they tend to rise to the occasion. I don't remember the Deshaun Watson game against Alabama. What was that, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 3 years ago now. A lot of people had Alabama winning that game. And it just seems like just when you start to count Clemson out, they seem to rise to the occasion.
They're down 16-0. Their quarterback almost gets knocked out of the game. They're playing a great team, Ohio State. It wasn't like they were playing a weak team. And they come back and win that game. I thought that was really impressive. LSU was just so dominant over Oklahoma, I couldn't even tell how good they were. I've never seen a game where the score was 49-14 at halftime and the quarterback had already thrown for 7 touchdowns. This is a playoff game. It was crazy. I mean, with all due respect, the Big 12 has been the one conference that has really done a terrible job in the bowl season. I think they're 1-5. Texas got their only win, and Oklahoma just did not belong on the same field as LSU, frankly, and that's just too bad. You get a playoff of 4 teams, you'd like to believe all 4 teams have a chance to win.
I think the days of certain conferences dominating bowl years year in and year out, it's just too much parity, it seems like, across the nation now, where, you know, in past years you could count on the SEC, the Pac-12s, them running the gauntlet when they got a shot, but nowadays, it just seems like every year it's going to be a little bit different. Some years SEC will look great, some years they won't, and that goes for all the other conferences too.
Yeah, don't forget, the SEC last year, I believe, was 4-4 in bowl games. It's not like they always go 10-0. But people
That's
think,
the perception.
But the perception is that the SEC just goes 10-0 unless they don't care. And that's just, that's just really not fair. Minnesota played a really strong game yesterday. Congratulations to those guys. Last night, you're the biggest Laker fan I know.
Yes.
Did you at all just go ahead and say we got this game locked up?
I did.
You did.
I did.
You're up 31 points at halftime, and the Phoenix Suns, come on,
end up
getting within like 6 or 8 points in the fourth quarter.
Here's how it went down last night. I'll give you my night.
Give me the rundown.
I got to start it late on the game, so I turned off all my notifications because I didn't, just in case I didn't get to the end of it in time. I watch the beginning of it, and the Lakers are blowing it. I watched probably close to the first in the whole first half. I happened to see the score, so I'm thinking, okay, this must have been like a gradual. They came back. They got through pretty much all of the third quarter too, up by a lot.
Yeah.
Before I stopped watching, only to finish it this morning to see this is how they ended up only winning by 10 points.
They won by 10 points again. They're up by 30-plus at home against Phoenix has improved. But
LeBron and AD had to come back in the game after playing the entire third quarter.
And that's something the coaches don't like to have to do.
No,
when you take your starters out, you do not want – you tell your bench guys, don't make me put the starters back in.
Right. Vogel had every intent. He let AD and LeBron play the entire third quarter thinking they're not playing the fourth.
Right.
Only to have to bring him back in, so I'm sure they caught an earful for that.
Well, it's all right. At least the Lakers have kind of snapped out of their losing streak. They had the little 4-game losing streak. Now they've won 3 in a row since then, so they've got
all is better in Lakerland.
The ship righted a little bit, but last night had to be a little bit of a crazy game. What else happened on New Year's Day? Got the Aztecs win yesterday over Utah or over Fresno State. Utah State coming up next. Got the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. We'll talk about those. Probably a lot more tomorrow on the program. But first glance, I don't know. What do you think about New England? That's the question everybody's asking right now.
This is the first year that I don't trust New England.
Everybody doesn't trust New England, and that scares me because, you know what, that's just what they want you is not to trust them. But
they've been trying to turn it on like this, though, all year.
They can't.
And they just seeming like they can't quite get it to that next gear.
No. And Tom Brady said after the game Sunday when they lost to Miami, he said, I just had a bad game. Well, that might be true, but he's had a lot of bad games this year. That wasn't the first bad game he's had, number one.
He struggled.
Number two, even if Tom Brady had a bad game, what is the New England defense doing giving up 27 points to the Miami Dolphins
at home? Your man Devontae Parker was giving it to
He owned that guy. Was it Stephon Gilmore? Yeah,
Stephon, that's the first – I've watched a lot of New England games for the first time ever in my life this
year. Parker looked really good.
And this is the first time I saw Stephon Gilmore look like he didn't want to be out there.
No, Devontae Parker was just going to town on him, and Fitzpatrick was picking on him.
He was picking on him.
That was crazy. You don't expect to see that. So now we'll see if Tannehill can pull it off in his first playoff game.
There's your guy.
And beat the Patriots. My old guy. Tannehill has just had the remarkable, amazing season. We'll see if Tannehill can do it.
I hope he pulls it off.
Me too. Well,
it's hard to say he will.
I'd like to see him pull it off, but I wouldn't bet too much on it.
He won AFC Player of the Month for December.
Really? Yeah.
Good for him.
So add to another list of things that happen when you leave the Dolphins.
I'm never mad at a guy who is seemingly starting to put it together after some disappointing years.
Yeah, but Tannehill is
he's been healthy, too.
I hate to say this. This is going to sound bad. but he's a choke artist. I've seen it in my Dolphin rooting career. And so he's going to have a chance to change my thinking about that this weekend. So if he plays well this weekend,
don't let him get a lead and let New England come back. It's only going to pretty much stamp what you just said.
Exactly. So we'll see how that goes. All right, we'll talk NFL playoffs a lot more tomorrow. We'll have our picks for the games. That's coming up. But we're at the San Diego International Auto Show. The chairman, Richard Neuendijk, is here. We're going to visit with him a little bit next, find out what's going on at the International Auto Show this year. Chris versus the fans right around the corner. Stick around for some trivia. It's Gwen and Chris rolling till 7 o'clock. This evening, live auto show, Convention Center, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Live from an International Auto Show, Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello, the band is back together after the new year has arrived. And joining us on Gwen and Chris, Richard Neuendijk joins us, Auto Show Chairman. Richard, how are you doing today?
Really good.
Good.
It's a great day to be in the automobile business.
It is. You got a lot of beautiful cars out here. Tell us a little bit about what goes into an International Auto Show. You got different cars from all over the place here today.
Oh, we got a lot of cars. 400 cars on display.
Wow.
Over 100 that you can drive. It's EV day, so
electric car day, huh?
Electric vehicle day. We also have 12 EV cars you can drive today. So it's a great place to be. I look at this and go, if these are my customers for the next 12 months, I'm a pretty happy guy, right? The stock market goes up, the car people come in and look, and everything is good.
Yeah.
Cars are just, you and I were talking a second ago, it just seems like cars are so much better now. I mean, honestly, in the last 20 years, it wasn't something that I slowly noticed, because I remember, you know, in college, every time I got in my car to drive somewhere,
it was
a question as to whether I was going to make it, right? But now, my car's never broken down, and that's pretty much around the whole industry. They've improved cars so much, and I don't know that all of us have noticed that necessarily. Yeah,
the product quality has really improved, and the way they fix them. You know, it's not a bunch of guys with greasy hands fixing your car.
Yeah.
They're hooking a laptop up to your car, and the computers in the car are talking to the laptop, and they're fixing this stuff, and it's making it so that we get so much new technology in the car so quickly and increased reliability. I mean, people are buying a new phone every year because it gets to, you know, it's not good enough.
Got to keep up.
Cars, they just keep beefing them up, spiffing them up, making them better. And we've got cars of every kind here. Just about every kind of car is shown here. I don't know, did you guys go down to the exotic vault?
I hadn't got down to the vault. I got down to right around Land Rover Jaguar, and then I had to come back because the show got started.
Okay, so you're not quite walking far enough. You need to get your steps in, Tony, right? Because all the way on the other end are the cars that we want to really look at.
Okay.
Guys like us, we go, how about a drop-top Rolls Royce?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's okay, right? It seems funny.
It's okay to dream.
Yeah,
I think I rode
the door
one
on the
once.
Wrong end.
Did you rode in one time, yeah.
Yeah, I think I dreamt about one once.
Yeah, maybe.
But, you know, I'll take whatever I can get.
Right.
You know, we've got a lot of manufacturers on display. We have some cars that I joked with you guys earlier about how I got in the car business before you're born. That may or may not be true, but I have some cars that were built before you and I were born here on
display. I saw some of those, yeah.
And we've got cars you may never get to buy. So we've got some concept cars here that may or may not ever make it to the market.
Now, for those who never been to an international car show or for a car show in general, what is it? What are you allowed to? Can you buy cars here? How does it work?
There's no selling of cars here.
Okay.
So it's really good for the consumer. You don't have to worry that some guy's going to walk up with a plaid jacket on. Oh, that's stereotyping.
They still wearing plaid jackets when they sell cars?
I'm glad I didn't wear one today, right? and tell you, hey, listen, if you'll do it today, here's what I'll do. That's not going to happen here.
Okay.
We've got really good top quality product consultants in
every one of
the
venues.
So they'll teach you all about the car, and if you were thinking, well, I want to look at this one and this one and this one, we got someone to teach you about all three cars, and you can make a better decision. And a lot of those you can go outside and drive, and you don't even need the dealer yet, right? So it's really a good environment, and a good environment for families. I don't know if you go this way and go down to Camp Jeep.
I haven't gone down to Camp G.
Oh my gosh!
Come on, Tony.
So I should have got gotten here earlier and take you guys on a tour.
Yeah.
So I'm happy you're asking me about this because Camp Jeep is amazing.
Is that the one that there's a line down there for? Okay, yeah. I saw Camp Jeep, but I haven't been in it yet.
So there's a line down there. You get in a Jeep, and they actually show you the point where it's like Blue Sky Corner, right? You're looking down, and you can't see the ground, and they're keeping on going, right?
Right.
And
right.
The wheels are half off the ground, so it's really a super cool way to go. Experience what a Jeep can do for you. Now, we don't recommend you go grab a new Jeep and run out and do that, but it's really cool to know you could.
What's new at the auto show? I mean, we've had it here for how many years?
So,
like 20, 30 years?
Trying to figure out last year how... Oh, no, we're way longer.
Way longer than that.
Way longer.
I know I've been doing shows here for a long, long time. So
this is one of the top 10 auto shows in the nation and the second largest in California, only second to L.A.
Okay.
So when people come into here, they're not coming down and seeing eight different guys got together and put their prettiest car in. You're coming down and seeing 400
cars.
You're
getting a whole deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's put on by the San Diego New Car Dealer Association. And we spend the whole year getting ready to do this, from talking about who's going to be where, who we're going to add in that doesn't sell cars. So, you know, you can go down to the massage area down here. When you're tired.
After looking at all the cars?
Yeah, and a chair will give you a massage.
Wow. All right.
I know what you guys are thinking. That's not going to happen. Right? But the chair will take care of you, right?
Right, no doubt. You mentioned the exotic vault. What's the most expensive ride you have here today?
Rolls-Royce. There's Aston Martins. There's Rolls-Royce. The two new Bentleys. Those are good-looking cars. Lamborghini. The Lamborghini SUV, which is really cool looking.
They have a Lamborghini SUV?
Yeah. You know, they have a Rolls-Royce
SUV,
but it's not here.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, there's a lot of cool things to see down here and a great environment for the family. You bring them down, buy them some pretzels, get them some, you know, get the kids all tired and worn out. Yeah. On the way home, they fall asleep. Everything's good.
Richard Neuendijk is with us, the chairman of the auto show, and show runs through Sunday, and you said the family day was Sunday, right? So that's the day to bring the kids out if you're
Sunday,
right?
If you want to see Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, you got to come on
Sunday. Now, we were talking. I'm trying to figure out how I get Spider-Man into the... onto the ceiling and then back down to the kids.
I was telling Richard, if he finds a way to pull that off, people will be here not to see the cars, but to see Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll find out how good Spider-Man is, right?
Yeah.
So in the movies, he does a lot of crazy stuff. If he can't get to that ceiling, I don't know what we're going to do with him.
Very true. Richard, we certainly appreciate your time coming on today. You have a tremendous show, tremendous floor right here with all these beautiful cars out. And hopefully we can get some more people out here by the weekend.
Well, I certainly hope so. We got beautiful cars and beautiful people and great weather. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this, right?
No, this is fantastic. Let me sneak one more question before we let you go. If we were to sit here in 5 years, 7 years, and interview you about the car show, what do you think we might be talking about in cars that we aren't yet talking about now?
Well, some of the things I think we'd be talking about would be similar, right? We're all trying to wait for that car that can drive us.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or fly us. Back to the Future too. That's what I'm thinking about.
Spider-Man's working on the flying car for us. Yeah. But I think we'll also be looking at technologies that we don't currently have. Ways that you can see around corners. I mean, you now have cars that can see a couple of cars ahead, and they can help you anticipate that. And seat belts that grab you before you even know there's a problem. A lot of those things are coming. We're going to see that go even further.
Beautiful.
With the use of AI and the ability to kind of predict what's going to happen around you. And then, of course, increased numbers of electric vehicles. Almost every manufacturer is moving into the electric vehicle range, whether in an actual electric vehicle, or they're now coming out with ones that are not really a hybrid, but it's not far off from that. You have an engine that simply charges the battery, so you can go a much longer range. And that's the, you know, as we're talking about EVs today, the biggest thing that people ask when we were over there today is, how far can I go? Well, when we get that how far can I go to be over 1,000 miles, 1,500 miles, things like that,
it's a game changer.
Then all of a sudden, you're going to see a whole different, I think, realm of where we're going with cars.
Awesome. I love cars, so this was a perfect interview for me. Richard, we appreciate your time, as we said, and have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us out today.
No problem.
You bet.
Richard Neuendijk, Auto Show Chairman here at the International car show.
Getting it done. Sounds good.
We got a Chris versus fan coming. We got some lines available. Get your calls in now. 833-288-0973. We haven't had a game in a while. At least, let me say this. I haven't had a game in a while.
No, it's been a little while.
It's been a little bit.
Scrabby was so livid on Monday.
Oh,
the final show of the year. He could not find a winner. He was not happy.
Oh, you know, well, hopefully he's usually when that happens, we're short on questions.
Down, but he bears down on the questions after that.
He does. So. He does. So, again, get your calls in. 833-288-0973. Do we have some time, or do we want to get right into Chris versus the fan?
We got time.
Giving away today?
Just movie so passes
know.
To Ultrastar Cinemas in Mission Valley.
Okay. Thank you,
did
Richard.
Did he say Lamborghini SUV?
He did. He did say Lamborghini SUV.
Do you want one of those?
Yeah.
Would you like Tony and I to reward you with one of those for your fine service to our the program?
Yeah.
We'll get your game up
we'll
there.
You.
That's amazing.
I will be going down to that vault when the show is over.
We might need some more A-list celebrities on the show to consider that, Strabby.
Yeah. I didn't say it was going to come from us. I just said we could maybe make it happen.
I don't think so.
Hey, if you come down to the auto show, we're at the Chevrolet display. That's where we're broadcasting live from. So make sure you come on by and say hi. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. And as Richard said, the auto show goes through Sunday right here at the San Diego Convention Center. And it's pretty crowded today on a Thursday. So I imagine by the weekend it'll be jam-packed in here.
I don't know if he said this on the air. I was listening, but I didn't hear it. He said yesterday was twice as busy. Here.
Oh, did he?
On New Year's Day.
It was the first day of it open, too, so yeah. It makes some sense.
Twice as busy. Like, it looks pretty busy to me right now.
Yeah, twice as busy.
No, it's definitely busy.
Crowded.
Yeah, it probably was crowded yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this Chris versus the fan. First one of... Is this the first... You guys won yesterday?
No, we're not.
We didn't have a show yesterday.
Yeah.
That's right. No. First one of 2020.
You had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Chris versus the fans at stake today. Family four-pack of movie tickets to San Diego's hometown theater. Ultrastar Cinema in Mission Valley. You know the deal. Call in. Get yourself in line. 833-288-0973. And then Scraby will explain the rules.
Yes, I will. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will make it more difficult.
Time out.
What did you do?
What was the tune you were singing here?
Yes, I will. You know, I don't know why I do this, but when I'm trying to stall for time, I sing. It's like okay, if I'm going to stall for time, I'm going to entertain you at the same time.
Thank you, Scraby.
Clearly.
Very Each nice question is going to get more difficult. I mean, I've been reading this for a year and a half now, but if you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or win.
All right.
Do we have any lines open just so people can get in there if they're not in
yet? We have one line open. I'm going to paste this in there, Tony, for you to get our callers. We have no cities because Thomas is by himself.
833-288-0973 if you want to play. Get your. We got one line open for you.
All right. Let's get to our first contestant of 2020.
Wow.
Ron, you are on Gwen and Chris. Happy New Year, my man.
Happy 2020.
Yes. Happy, Ron.
All right. Let's get to this. Happy,
Mark that.
Let's get to this first question. What team was Jack Del Rio's last head coaching job?
Jacksonville.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. That is incorrect. Chris.
Stop eating.
Did he go to the Vikings?
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
The Vikings is also incorrect.
What?
It was the Raiders.
Jack Del Rio was the Raiders, too.
He was the Raider
he's
head coach.
Around.
Ron, you hang on for the second round. Let's get to question number two. Who is the current manager of the Anaheim Angels?
Joe Madden.
Very good.
Joe Madden is the correct answer.
God, they nice change work. Like every 6 months.
It really does, especially as of recently.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
I wanted to be the Padre manager, but it didn't happen.
I think you are in a. You're not in that boat by yourself. I think a lot of people were anticipating that being the call. The Padres elected to go with Jace Tingler. All right, here we go. Question number three for the family four-pack of movie passes to San Diego's hometown theater, Ultra Star Cinema, here in Mission Valley. The Aztecs are off to an undefeated start. One of the players that has helped them, KJ Fagan, transferred from what school?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara is correct.
Oh, my well goodness.
The first winner of 2021.
Dang.
Congratulations. Not only did you run the table, you've also left us with about 7 minutes to burn here.
I know. Yeah. I was just about to say. I hate it when it goes too long, but I hate it when it goes too short.
Thanks, Ron.
Hang on the line, Ron. Congratulations. We'll get you those movie stars.
Don't tell Ron to hang on the line. Tell Ron to start talking. We got to fill 7 minutes. Man, he just burned through those questions, Scraby. Nice.
Nice work.
All right. So he wins today. That's the way it goes on Chris versus the Fans. Sometimes that's why you want to get your call in early and be early in the rotation, because every now and again, somebody takes it down right away. Sometimes nobody ever gets it done. So.
And it saves me questions.
Yeah, but did you hear this? Now, here's something you don't know, Tony. But me and Scraby were talking last week about the potential, and I've been bringing this up for a year now, getting some sort of reward out to the listeners if they win Chris versus the Fan.
Yes.
We've kind of given up on the trinket idea.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
We've given up.
But we've had a better idea come along. Somebody called in a couple of weeks ago, or
last week.
Last week when
or
you were
on Monday
gone,
or something.
Whatever it was, and said, why don't you guys do bumper stickers? And a bumper sticker would say, hey, I took down Chris versus the Fans on 97.3, the Fan. So everybody who wins would get the movie tickets, and we'd send them a bumper sticker. They could put it on their car. It would be driving around and seeing something that on. And then,
that can't cost that much getting those things made.
Not only that, but see, it gets better. Somebody called us in our break right after we came up with, or I don't know if we came up with the idea, whoever came up with the idea about the bumper
stickers.
Someone
did.
Someone get it and said, hey, I want to sponsor the bumper stickers. So that's it.
It's working, but the only thing is, like, he didn't say just the bumper stickers. He said he was willing to sponsor the trinket. So do we really think bumper stickers are a thing of the 2020s?
I think that's a good question.
That is a good question, because people don't put them on their cars as much as they used to. That's for sure.
I do like that
because it would be really fun to drive by someone with a Chris. 100%.
I beat Chris.
and it's more eyes for our show. You see somebody driving behind it. Behind
be like, what is that?
Oh, they beat Chris and Chris versus the Fan.
Yeah.
That'd be legit. I like the bumper sticker idea.
Sticker idea is good if people would put them on. At least they could stick them in the back of their windows. Maybe if people
don't have to stick the bumper sticker on there.
I still see lots of bumper stickers.
People do it.
It's usually something mocking Trump.
Yeah, well,
those are our bumper sticker people in this world.
Yeah, mocking Trump or supporting Trump.
One of the two.
I, no joke, ran into someone at the grocery store who was checking me out, and he looked at my ID, and he said, Scraby, why does that sound familiar? And we went through the whole rigmarole, and he goes, every time I call in for Chris versus the Fans, I always know the questions, except for when I call in. So I said, keep calling in, buddy.
That's how it usually works.
I said, you get a new lease on life every single day.
That is the ballad of a Chris versus the Fans player right there.
Yes.
You always know everybody else's questions. But
until you get on
it's
there.
It's different when you're on there.
I do have some good news about a former Aztec football player, though, because you know that the Redskins are, I don't know if they've officially hired Ron Rivera, but it's pretty widely reported he will be the next Redskins
head
coach.
Yes, they have. In fact, he was at a press conference today. So
and Daniel Snyder said happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Did he really?
Oh, he did. Good.
He's clearly been in a dungeon for quite some time.
Happy
I feel bad for Ron Rivera. I think he's a good. He's a two-time coach of the year, but he's going to have a lot of deals.
This,
stuff to
do you know,
with
this
there.
Is probably the equivalent of, and minus the end of the tenure. This is probably like when Doc Rivers went in under Donald Sterling there for the Clippers. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't matter how good you are,
like,
you're going to be.
He was able to make them a playoff team despite that, but getting beyond that. It's going to take something else.
But what I'm getting to is that Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator of the Redskins. I was kind of worried that he was going to lose his job because that's what happens when they bring in new coaches. But what I'm reading is that they're going to keep Kevin O'Connell on the staff, and so he'll get to work under Ron Rivera.
That doesn't necessarily mean he'll be offensive coordinator, though.
No,
right?
But
he'll just going to be on the staff.
He'll be on the staff. Good. It doesn't look like they're going to get rid of him. And Gerald McCoy of the Panthers, who played under Ron Rivera last year, and he said they asked him about, you know, what are you going to, what can you tell the players of the Redskins? He said, this is the best move of your career, bringing this guy in. So.
Well, I think it was a bad move by Carolina to part ways.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I really do. I mean, when you win a two-time coach of the year, you can coach. And just because they, again, Cam Newton got hurt, and the backup guy wasn't that good, that's not Ron Rivera's fault. I mean,
you almost feel like
I just didn't get that.
You almost felt like the ownership there was you know, he was a new owner, his new toy. It almost seemed like he wanted to do this. It's almost like he was hoping that this would be the scenario so that it'd be easier for him to do this way. But it's going to come back and bite him, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. So I think Carolina's going to be in the dumps for a little while after this move. I don't think that was the way to go. But, you know, that's what they do. Ownership, they own the team, so they can do what they want. Unfortunately for the fans of those teams who have to deal with their owners messing up their franchises.
Real quick, I thought about you. We've talked a little bit about the Dolphins, but, man, I told you at the beginning of the year I kind of liked the pick and I kind of liked the way this team was playing, even though they were giving up every single good player that they had.
Yeah,
that team is playing for their head. What's the head coach?
Brian Flores. Yeah, no, he's earned my trust now. I mean, I'm pretty much behind the guy. I mean,
I can actually see light at the end of the tunnel
for them to finish the season 5-4. After starting 0-7, that wasn't like they lucked into one win.
No.
I mean, they played pretty good, solid football.
And some of those losses were close. Losses. Games they had wins, had leads, and they surrendered.
Yeah, the Jets beat them on a last-second field goal, or they would have had 6 out of 9. But anyway, no, I think Brian Flores did a great job. And the thing with Brian Flores and the Dolphins is Brian Flores, I feel, is doing the best job of transferring what he learned from Bill Belichick.
Yes, that's true, the same way.
He doesn't care about the star player so much. He knows he needs some star players, but he just wants to get a bunch of guys out there who want to run to the football and get the job done. And that's all Belichick ever does. I mean, if you're a superstar player, you better play to a superstar caliber. If not, they're going to get rid of you and bring in somebody else who will play and play for a lot less money.
I think back to how the whole Micah Fitzpatrick thing was happening, how he stood up in that press conference. Even when it was Kenny Stills he was talking about, he had a lot of those veteran guys on that team early in the year, and when it came time to have to move them, he had to stand up in front of the press and give them reasons. And we may have disagreed with the reasoning, but you can kind of see at the end of the year what the method to his madness was. Yeah,
it paid off.
No
yeah.
doubt about it. All right, we got to step away. Big show ahead. Chris versus the fan. Now we got Bethel Duran coming up. A Big Five, a countdown. Odd Thomas, Jerry Brewer will join us. KJ Fagan is coming on the show as well. Big time show ahead. This is Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.